Almighty God, King of the universe, we thank thee, Father, for that great love, for that mercy, for that great goodness. We thank you for Jesus Christ and him crucified, our only hope of glory. Have mercy upon us, Father, for we're sinners, and we confess that to you, and we ask you, beseech you for your forgiveness and for your loving kindness. Thank you for your loving kindness to this church. We pray that you'll make our way straight, Father, and our path straight, that we might serve thee, the one and only true God. We pray for the preaching of the cross of Christ that goes out from this place. And we pray for your blessings upon our internet ministry. And we thank you and we praise you and we give you the glory and the honor for all of the things that are happening in this ministry that we have. Thank you for our radio broadcast that goes out to all the earth. Thank you, Father, for our feeding of the poor and our ability to go forward and feed the poor and the homeless and those that are down and out. Thank you for the good year you've given us, and give us another, and we pray. Give us more preachers that we can train and more young men that we can train. Help us that we can break the bread of life to all those who have murder and madness in their hearts that's part of this war that's going on. We pray that they might hear the gospel of Christ and come to know thee, the one and only true God. Have mercy on us, Father, we beseech thee again. In Christ's name, amen. We'd like to welcome our worldwide radio audience to the regular worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. We'd especially like to welcome Radio 1630 AM North Texas. We'd like to ask when you go out, set that as one of your favorites. And if you're here as a visitor, when you get out of your worship service, you'll be able to tune us right in. We're on 14 AM and FM stations covering large areas in the United States, mainly where our school of preaching and colleges and universities are trying to have an influence on the future generation of preaching. Most important thing that we do here is worship God, and of course that requires keeping the doors open. And so 22 years ago I came here and there was 50, 60, 70 senior citizens, and this was a dying inner city church. And I began serving as associate minister. And 18 years ago, I became the minister of the church when the responsibility of this place fell on me. And I felt much like Harry Truman said when FDR died, that if you've never had a load of hay fall on you, you couldn't know how I feel today. I've never thought that I was worthy to be the minister of this church, and I've always prayed that God would send the right person at the right time, and it's just work that I should go on and continue doing what I'm doing until he does, and so that's what we'll do. This church, the men had a meeting. We dedicated ourselves to two things, to preaching the gospel to all the world and to feeding the poor. I told the congregation at that time that I didn't want any pay and that I would serve for just my expenses. And if they would get a radio broadcast to North Texas. And so we got our first radio broadcast to North Texas. And of course, that's our marching orders. In Mark 16, verse 15, Jesus said to them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." So on one side, we have our marching orders to go forward and preach the gospel to the entire world. And we took that commission very seriously as something that we ought to try to do our own selves. Then the other part, if you turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms 41, it says, "Blessed is he that considereth the poor, the Lord will deliver him in a time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive and he shall be blessed upon the earth. 5 years ago, I had a massive heart attack, died three times, and had five-way heart bypass surgery. The very miracle of the thing, I remember the last time that I died, they shocked me with those shockers, and you can hear everything that's going on around you, and but they talk like you're not even there, you know. And so I heard the doctor say to the nurse, when's he scheduled for surgery? And they said, he's the fourth one Tuesday. And he said, he's not going to live till Tuesday. Said, get him off the blood thinners, and I'll come in tomorrow and operate on him. Now, the next day was Memorial Day, or Labor Day, I don't remember. But he came in the next day. The head of surgery of Baylor came in and operated on me on a holiday. And if I'd have waited till Tuesday, a student would have operated on me. God is really serious about this stuff. And I'm very thankful that he has preserved me and he saved me. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, because it's in God's interest to preserve people like that. And he shall be blessed upon the earth. Thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of his languishing. Thou wilt make all of his bed in his sickness. And so God has done that for me. One of the ways that we consider the poor here at this church is that we feed the poor. In Romans chapter 12, verse 20, it says, therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. And in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Now, I always thought that that verse meant that if you be good to your enemies, that if they continue to act up, God will get them. And well, I got to studying that, and there's a great poem that was written back in the 16th century that has to do with this verse. It says, as the artist smelts the sullen ore of lead by heaping coals of fire upon his head, in the gentle warmth the metal learns to glow, and pure and free from dross the silver runs below. This is really a verse about being good to people. God causes the rain to fall upon the just and the unjust alike. He's good to all people, to sinners and to good people too. God is goodness. And so God has surrounded people with goodness, and he has them in a cauldron, and he has a fire burning under them with the Holy Spirit, convicting them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And when you smelt silver or smelt gold, you take and you put coals on top. And so you have heat on the bottom and heat on the top. And that's what causes that metal, to heavy metal of the gold or silver, to run out below. And so we have dedicated ourselves to taking care of and feeding the poor and homeless here. We began by feeding about 20 here after church on Sunday, and that has now grown to about 3,000 meals a week, and we feed about 150,000 meals a year. In Hebrews 11:1, and Hebrews 11 will be the basis of our sermon today, Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I need some now faith. I don't need some faith tomorrow. I need some now faith. And faith only comes one way. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We feed two different, really, types of people. We have some homeless people and poor people with us today. And the people who come on Sunday are family people who are poor and down and out, and we feed them, and it's a joy and a pleasure to do that. But there's an entirely different type of people who come during the week We feed from 9 o'clock in the morning till 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and that's the hardcore homeless, the people who are, they're drunkards, they're dope fiends, they're streetwalkers, they're sinners, and they're not intending to change. And we try to help them, and we try to cast a wide net and be good to all of them. And not only in feeding, but in many things. We tried several months ago sending our van down to the shelter and picking up about 30 homeless people and bringing here on Sunday to our worship service, but it really interfered with the families that was coming here, and a lot of these people are homeless because they choose to be homeless. They're not homeless because of bad situation. They're homeless because they take every penny that they get and they use it on drugs and alcohol and use it to do things to destroy themselves. So it was really interfering with our families that you see here today that were coming to church. And these people were hogging and the head of the line and everything. We weren't running things decently and in order. So we continue to feed. We feed Monday through Friday. We just don't send our van on Sunday and pick up those homeless people. Any of them come here, if they'll just act right, they'll be very welcome here. We have a Dallas police officer here in more security than you could ever dream of. And so don't be in the least bit worried about your security here at Main Street. So just as the parable that Jesus said, we cast a wide net, we bring in the good and the bad, we keep the good and we throw the bad back, and we just keep casting the net. Monday through Friday, we feed chicken vegetable soup with rice and bologna sandwiches and give them a sweet. We give out socks, gloves, caps, and clothing. We gave out, thanks to Brother Sinclair, a friend of ours, who gave us 800 blankets this year. We gave out 800 blankets, and this is the first year that we haven't had anybody freeze to death here behind our building. This is the first year that we've avoided that. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith is the substance. If you have Bible faith, it will become substance. It is the subsistence, the foundation, the rock. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. What do we hope for? Well, we hope for everlasting life. We hope to preach the gospel to the entire world. We hope to feed all the people that we could possibly feed and feed the poor. We have a lot of hopes and a lot of dreams, and real Bible faith will become substance. There'll become something to it. You'll be able to sink your teeth into it. You'll be able to see it. There'll be evidence of it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There'll be evidence of it. You can set the goal. We want to preach the gospel to the whole wide world, and if it doesn't happen, there's no evidence of it. But if it does happen, there is evidence of it. The Revised Version says faith is the assurance. Now, the word hope and assurance is changed since 1611 when the King James translation came out. I know that some of y'all, in spite of my warning, went and bought lottery tickets last night, didn't you? I know some of you did. You did that in a hope of winning that lottery. And I've explained to you many times that the odds of winning that lottery is 173 million to one. And if you lined up $1 bills all the way around the circumference of the United States of America, all around the border, It would be that many dollar bills, 173 million of them, and then you go pick one of them out, what's your chance of winning? There's no chance of winning that lottery. So that's hope. But the Bible hope is a different hope. It's assurance. Man, you know it. You know that this thing is going to happen. I like the Phillips translation. Now, faith means putting our full confidence in the things we hope for, and it means being certain of the things that we cannot see. When I first became the minister here at Main Street, the previous administration had got us sued. Our forefathers bought and paid for this property. This property is a half a city block close to downtown Dallas. This building was built in 1980. It's paid for. We don't owe a cent to anybody. And the previous administration that ran this place got us sued for $120,000. They stole all the money and got us sued for $120,000 and it's trying to take the property. I went over to a rich church not far from here that this church established years and years ago. And I asked the elders of the church if they would please help us and please help us hire a lawyer. And they said, we'll meet on it, we're going to talk about it, and come back tomorrow. And so I came back, and they said, no, we've decided we're not going to do anything. And I said, brethren, I know that my reputation has preceded me, and there's no reason for you to believe in me at all, but if you would consider just making your check out for $500, just retaining a lawyer, just help us by retaining a lawyer, that would help us to where we could raise the rest of his fees, and we could maybe not lose our property. They said, no, we're not going to do anything. And I went outside, and I was crying. And I said, Lord, I'm not going to go around begging. I'm going to preach the gospel, and I'm going to feed the poor, and you're going to supply the money. That Sunday, Bernie Woods is here, one of our deacons. That Sunday, a man in old coveralls, blue jeans, drove up out here in a blue truck. Old blue truck, old coveralls, I mean bib coveralls and a t-shirt. He walked in and said, is the minister here? And I said, I'm the minister, what's left of him? He said, can you give me a receipt for my contribution? And I said, I guess I could. I could write you one on our letterhead. He said, fine. He said, and he counted out $5,000 in $100 bills. The next Sunday or 2 weeks later, he was back and he gave us another $3,000. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. They will be evidence of it. I'm telling you, there will be evidence of it. Right. That has happened. We sing a song in the church. Oh, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Well, that's what this word here, evidence, means. Aristotle uses the word for a mathematical demonstration. And he says, and properly defines it as thus. Enekos, or demonstration, is that which cannot be otherwise, but is so as we assert. It is as if you could get it in your mind, 2 + 2 + 2 = 4. You can get that in your mind, and you know that 2 + 2 = 4, and you know that there is no way it can be 5, Nobody can convince me it's five. I can count them. It's one, two, three, four. I know it's that. It can't be anything else other than that. That's what this word evidence here means. It means that you've worked it out so hard in your mind, so many times he has proved himself over and over and over again that there's no doubt. There's no doubt. In 1 John 5:14, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Lord, let me win the lottery. He didn't hear that. He says, by the sweat of your brow, you'll bring forth me. It's not God's will that we get a free ride. That's not God's will. But I tell you what is God's will. God, help me feed some poor soul today. God, help us preach the gospel to the whole wide world. Lord, don't let us just be limited to North Texas. Give us Arkansas too. Let us have that station in Searcy. And we get three stations in Searcy. Oh Lord, if we could just have that station in Oklahoma City. Now you know what that required? Since we don't go to other churches and we don't go around begging and we don't ask our radio audience for money, it required God touching some missionary-minded person's heart, and that missionary-minded person contacting us and saying, Brother Kelly, I'd like to pay for a radio station. When you want to put Nashville on, I'd like to pay for Nashville. When you want to preach shortwave, I'd like to pay for the shortwave. When you'd like to get the Pacific, I'd like to pay for the Pacific. That's what that's required. And God has over and over and over and over and over again done this. We get about 1.5 million hits a year on our internet site. Last month we downloaded 39,000 sermons. That's 1,300 sermons a day people are listening to our internet. We have an average of 130, it's in your bulletin today, we have an average of 132 people on the internet at all times. We've established over 6,000 house churches. God has blessed us and added cities and areas where our colleges and universities are at. And we're on two 100,000 shortwave, 100,000 watt shortwave broadcasts that go out to all the world. Now, last month, Brazil was the number one foreign country coming to our website with 971 people who came from Brazil to our website. Now, how would 971 people in Brazil know about the little old Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas? Now, you could maybe understand how they'd know about Saturn Road, a big church, or Waterview, a big influential church, but how would they know about the little old Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas? They had to heard us on shortwave radio. There's no other way they could know. We don't advertise in Brazil. So, God is good. God is good. Now faith is a substance. There will be some substance to your faith, if you really got it, of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Church of Christ organization is setting up their antennas on the island of Madagascar. And Brother Bennett is flying me. He brought me a copy of the tickets this morning. We're flying on the 10th of March to Nashville to sit down and negotiate with a Church of Christ organization called World Christian Broadcasting Corporation. The satellite dishes are on the high seas right now. They've got their permission to operate and broadcast from Madagascar. If we get that station in Madagascar, it's going to cost us probably about $300 a month, and God's going to send it from somewhere. We don't know where, but God will send it from somewhere because He would like to have. What does the Word say? And this is a confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Is He willing for people in China to hear the gospel? Is He willing for people in Indonesia and India and all of the Pacific to hear the gospel? This Madagascar station is going to get every place but North America, and we're already covered here. So let's ask Him now again. Our Father in heaven, if it be Thy will, we pray that You let us get this station in Madagascar and let the gospel go forth from there to the praise and glory of Your sons. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:2. For by it the elders obtained a good report. By faith the fathers or the elders of the Jews obtained a good report in the Word of God. Verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things that are seen were not made of things that do appear. Now, how in the world could the Hebrew writer know that everything's made out of atoms? Today's scientists tell us that the universe came into being when some primal matter about the size of my thumbnail exploded in a big bang and made everything that there is. Now, if you believe that, I've got some swamp land I want to talk to you about. I've got a good deal for you on some swamp land, if you really believe that. But I only have one question for them. Where did that primal matter come from that exploded, that made everything? Well, see, they don't have an answer for that. They say that, well, there was some stuff, and it blew up and made everything. And then you ask them where the stuff come from, and they don't have any idea where the stuff came from. Well, God here tells us, by divine fiat, out of nothing, God spoke into existence the stuff that He made everything else out of. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches. It's precisely what's taught in Genesis, precisely what's taught in John 1, 1 through 14, and in Hebrews 1, 1 through 14. Turn with me to Genesis 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning, God, Elohim, a plural noun, meaning the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the three parts of the Godhead were all involved in the beginning. Now, bear in mind, in the beginning does not mean that there was nothing that happened before in the beginning, because the Bible tells us that all sorts of things happened before in the beginning. We've studied that. In the beginning, God created, and that Hebrew word is bara, and it's a single verb. So plural nouns, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, work together as one, creating the heavens and the earth. And the earth was that form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So there's God the Father involved and the Spirit of God involved. And God said, there's the Word of God, Jesus, who when the Word became flesh, became Jesus. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. I'd like to ask our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home. Go to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloadable a cappella singing, fair to Midland gospel preaching on there. There's 1,000 lessons that you can print and download, make Sunday school classes, and preach your own self. Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice, i.e. sin offering, when he offered the blood of an innocent victim. God had said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. God gave them an example when he made them coats of skin. Some little lamb just didn't come and volunteer and give his skin to make them coats. God had a bloody sacrifice to show that it was necessary. The shedding of blood is necessary. Our sins require death. And notice that clause, and he being dead yet speaketh. Even though his brother killed him, he preached by his offering that the blood of an innocent victim, a sin offering, for atonement is necessary. You know something? That verse is going to work for me too. When I croak, that website has got 1,000 sermons on it. And people will be listening. The hour after I'm dead, people will be listening from all over the world. 2 hours after I'm dead, maybe years after I'm dead, people will be listening. Who knows? Who knows? But let me tell you something about the internet and about cyberspace. Once it gets out there, you can't ever get it back. And so it's out there now. Hebrews 11:5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before this his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God in Genesis 5:24. And Enoch walked, he lived with God. He walked with God. Now there was years that I didn't do that. I was the greatest of sinners. God, forgive me, have mercy on me. But I walked with God. I'm telling you, since the responsibility of this church fell on me, I've taken it ultra serious. Ultra serious. You see me driving down the street, you think I'm crazy. I'm talking to myself, but I'm really talking to God. I talk to God all the time. I don't do anything without permission. I talk to God all the time. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And God's going to take me some way. He's just not going to take me that way. I'm going to die just like all men die. 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He that cometh to God, we have a duty and an obligation to worship God through Christ Jesus our Lord. We have that duty and that obligation. And there are 5 things that compose worship. We sing, we preach, we pray, we take the Lord's Supper, and we give of our blessings that God has given us to the poor. And so those 5 things make up the worship of the church. And I'm telling our worldwide radio audience, if you're in Saudi Arabia and you can't worship publicly, you can worship in your house. You don't need the permission of any mullahs or anybody else. You just tune right on in the radio and worship with us. Get you some fruit of the vine and get yourself some unleavened bread, and you can take the Lord's Supper with us. We just covered last week and 2 weeks ago in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is. You know, some people rather see the Cowboys, and some people rather see the football game. And so it had already become the manner of some people in the early Hebrew church while the temple was still standing to not attend Christian worship. And there was many reasons, persecution, and I'm going to sleep late today, baby. I was up late last night, and all the excuses that we have and can dream of. I want to get to the restaurant, beat the Baptist, and so forth. And so we can think of every reason in the world not to worship God. The devil will help you come up with a few if you don't have any. But the Bible teaches us plainly, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more so as you see the day approaching. And so if I can stand here with 100 stitches, and I sure hope I don't bust one of them. I'm not jumping around as much as I normally do today. I think that y'all can set aside an hour for your Lord or an hour and a half. And he is, look at that second clause, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is not indifferent to them that approach him in faith and come to him in the appointed way. Now, you might try to come to God some other way, and he's indifferent to that. See, Cain's sacrifice was not acceptable to God. Cain brought some fruit of the ground. He said, I'll worship God however I want to worship God. But if you come to God in the appointed way, God is not indifferent to that. In Luke 11, Jesus said, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Romans 5:1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we don't have peace with Slewfoot. You understand? The devil is out to get you. But you have peace with who? What does that verse say? Peace with who? God. We have peace with God. In Isaiah 54 or 55, it says, surely they'll have trouble, but not by me. All our problems are not a result of God wishing it bad upon us. It's Slewfoot giving us all these problems. Hebrews 11, 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as of yet, moved with fear, prepared. Fear means awesome respect of God. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. I would encourage you to go to our lessons in Genesis. We've got many lessons on the website in Genesis, but go to that lesson on the flood. That is an amazing thing. That ark was an amazing thing. It was the size of 1,000 boxcars. It had the storage capacity of 1,000 boxcars. It had much of the displacement as the battleship Texas down here in San Angelo, or wherever it is, only it was more of a cube shape, like you see container ships today. And so Noah, by faith, being warned of God of things not yet seen, hadn't rained yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. In Genesis 6:5, and it says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. In Genesis 6:13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now, I'm not a doomsdayer, but it's a whole lot worse now probably than it was then. And God might just be getting close to saying that's enough. We don't know. That's the blessed hope of all Christians. We should all live like today is the last day. Like this minute is the very last minute. Jesus said, watch and pray. Be prepared. I have a shock for you. The flood didn't do anything about sin. I want you to notice Genesis 8:21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor of Noah's sacrifice after the flood. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. I read you in 6:13, it was evil before the flood, it's evil after the flood. Man is, when we fail, we fell a long way. And the very best of us is not very far from the very worst of us, and the very best of us is a long way from the righteousness of God, unless you have the righteousness of God imputed and reckoned and counted to you through the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're just not going to have much of a chance. Neither will I again smite anymore every living thing as I've done. So faith is to hear God's word, to believe God's word, and to take action based upon the word that you've heard. In other words, faith is to hear, to believe, to do, and to trust God with reliance. What would have happened if Noah had said, oh, there's going to be a flood, and never built the ark? Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which should after receive an inheritance, obey, went out, not knowing where he went. In Genesis 12:1-3, now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from my father's house, to a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless him that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. What did Abraham do? He partially obeyed God. He left Ur, the Chaldees, and went to Haran. And you know what Haran means in Hebrew? It means fruitless. And so he lived there in Haran. He took his father and he took Lot, his nephew. God had told him, get away from your family. Get away from bad influences. I'm telling you now, get away from bad influences. And it cost Abraham and it hurt Abraham over and over and over again because he didn't perfectly walk with God. He just halfway walked with God. And he's a great example to us. He does better than we do. 11:9. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, that's tents, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him, of the same promise. The land of promise was a type, a shadow of the perfect, better thing to come. Canaan land was promised to be a land that flowed with milk and honey. And Jesus said in Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And the word earth there is land. They shall inherit the land. And this new Canaan land, this kingdom of God, this church of Christ that Christ came to establish, in this new kingdom of God, milk and honey will flow in the hearts of men. This is what men will be like. They will become Christ-like. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Feel like Atlas, you got the world on your back. Any of you ever read Atlas Shrugged? Any of you read that? I'd highly recommend it to you. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. See that word meek? We think of that as, hey, this is a chump, or this is a stooge, or this is a wimp, or this is a sissy or something. But that's not what that word means at all. In the Greek language, that word was used to describe a wild animal that's been trained for service. A horse that was fit for the bridle. An ox that was ready to pull the plow. A mule that was ready to pull the yoke. Jesus is saying, I'm well trained. Learn of me. I'm well trained in God's service. You want to know what God's like? He's just like Jesus. You want to be like Jesus? You'll be just like God. That's what God's like. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Abraham dwelled in tabernacles, in tents. Abraham didn't even have a house. He dwelled in tents. God told him, go to this land. It'll be a land of promise. It'll be a land that flows with milk and honey. And he never even owned a house. He lived in tents. For he looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. What is that city? Well, it tells us in the 12th chapter. We'll study next week of Hebrews. But you are coming to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable company of angels. Look at that second clause, whose maker and builder is God. God is the architect of this heavenly city that we'll study about next week. 11:11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Sarah endured much ridicule because children were looked upon as a blessing of the Lord, and being barren was looked upon as being a curse. Verse 12, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and the sands which is by the seashore innumerable. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing and not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, as seed, one child, as the stars of heaven, and the sand that is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed unto thee, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Thank you very much. 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. They were without a country, dwelling in the land by promise. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home, or come to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For free downloadable a cappella singing, there's fair to middling gospel preaching on there, about 1,000 sermons you could download, and all kinds of written lessons. Hebrews 11:14. For they which say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. A country is where your constitutional rights are. And in the case of us, it's where our constitutional rights are, the United States. Well, Abraham sought a country, but it was a heavenly country, and that's the one we need to be seeking. Verse 15, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, Ur of the Chaldees, they might have had opportunity to have returned. They could have renounced God at any time and said, man, this journey's too tough. This road is too hard. I'm going to go back to Ur. I'm going back to Ur. Man, they could have done that at any time. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he has prepared for them a city. Well, what kind of city? Turn to Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Now, in a Greek language, there's two different words that are used for new. One is brand new, and the other is fresh versus wore out. And the word that's used here is fresh versus wore out. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. What is the bride of Christ? It's the church of Christ. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. God is now going to tabernacle with us forever, is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And they shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. And they came, now down to verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife, the church of Christ. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain. What is the mountain of the Lord's house we've studied? Why, it's the church of Christ, Isaiah 2 and following. Isaiah 11, to a great high mountain, and showed me that great city, that holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And verse 16, and the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs, and the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. A furlong is 606 feet, or 12,000 furlongs is 7,272,000 feet, or 1,377 miles, or a cube that's 1,377 miles in every direction. I want you to imagine a city that's as big as from Dallas, Texas to San Diego, California. And from San Diego, California to north to Alaska to past Anchorage, Alaska. Then you turn right and you go 800 miles past Chicago. And then you turn right again and you come back towards all the way back here to Dallas, Texas. And it's that big tall. Now, if a story in a building is 10 feet and it is 7,272,000 feet, then it would be 727,000 story tall. Is that literal? That's figurative. God is speaking to us in this beautiful figurative language and telling us heaven is a great big place. There's room enough for everybody. And you know what it talks about? You've heard about the streets of gold. It doesn't say that. There's a street of gold. There's just one street in that city. And what's God telling us? He's telling us that we're all going to live in the same hood, man. We're all going to be neighbors. We're all going to be in the same place and dwell together. 11:17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. We'd like to encourage you, our radio audience, to flee the Church of Christ nearest your home before it's everlasting too late. And ask, what must I do to be saved? If you're here this morning, you believe the gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you're ready to put your faith and trust and confidence in God to save you, repent of your sins and confess Christ as Lord, now's your opportunity. You just march right down to the front and meet me right down to the front. If you have sin in your life, if you need the help of the church or the prayers of the church, won't you come now while we stand and sing?
Will you come? This for you.